51 degrees for a home opener is not bad.
Not bad at all.
No. Considering some of the blizzards that we've sat through for home opening days.
Cubs were snowed out on opening day 1982. I'll never forget that, driving in there. Classic lake effect storm moved in.
Yeah.
Snowed them out. Rained them out.
I can't even tell you. Andy's probably had more, but I can't even tell you the number of times that I went. Because back in the day, we would have big WGM party, right?
Yep.
For opening day. Usually at like the Cubby Bear or, you know, one of those places to meet and greet our advertisers. And we'd, you know, go to the party and then go to the ballpark, and it was always super cold, super snowy, super something.
Yeah, I went back and looked this up because I remember this happening in 2003. There was the home opener was snowed out against the Montreal Expos on Tuesday, April 8th, 2003.
Hmm. Yeah, so 51's not bad.
Yeah.
For an opening day this coming Friday. It's a weird weather morning today.
It's going to get weirder, too, and more dramatic.
It's icky and looks like, you know, it looks like it's going to pour.
It will later.
But I was driving in and out of fog. Like, all of a sudden, I'm driving, and a wall of fog suddenly appeared. Really weird.
I saw a little fog early this morning, but it was just a very, very, very light drizzle early on.
This was like a wall of it. And I'm driving, and bam, all of a sudden.
Just hit right out of the blue.
I can't see anything. Maybe it wasn't the fog.
Speaking of not being able to see anything.
Maybe it was just me. I have had a weird morning.
Are you here? Where are you?
What do you mean, where
are you? I don't see you on our closed circuit official TV network here.
Here.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Are the cameras pointed away from
you? Yeah, we don't see you at all.
We don't see you. I wasn't sure if you were here or at the TV station or in parts unknown.
Do you prefer it that way, not being
nothing,
able to see me?
No preference at all. I was just wondering where you might be.
I'm here.
Okay.
I thought you were perplexed that you sound, you sounded like something was wrong.
That's what it was.
When we were having our spontaneous
banter. Hey, there you are.
There we go. Okay.
Now we see you.
All right. Now we see
you. Now turn it off. That's enough.
You're not wearing your hat today.
I'm not wearing my hat today. I should be. I should be wearing a parka. I had a rough week.
Did you?
Andy did all the heavy lifting on the show last week.
Yeah. That's what I understand.
Because I came down with just like terrible laryngitis, and I was out for a couple of days with a bad cold and laryngitis, and I tried to muscle through the show last week, but poor Andy had to, because Schwani didn't care; he wasn't here.
You guys have carried me plenty of time.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
He's my brother.
Are you any better now?
I think so.
Okay. All right. I was wondering.
Do you have a thermometer? We could take a.
No, we don't have to do that. we don't have to go there.
Could have hourly checks.
But you missed the rehearsal this morning.
I did.
You don't know why. I don't know why you weren't
well,
in. But
I feel fine. I don't think that I'm contagious. In any way, but I, you know, when you're not 100%, I don't want to share anything that I have with anybody else.
Very, very thoughtful of you.
I was telling Andy earlier this morning, this past
Did you
week,
miss me?
Yes, I did.
Normally I come in, we have
we had a I had another beautiful week
our
with
our pre-show meeting.
And right. Right.
We sing Kumbaya together.
Yes, we do.
We light a campfire in the newsroom, which they're
all
not,
sit around cross-legged around the campfire.
Yeah, they're not happy about that. And we talk about what happened during the week. We didn't do that today.
But I was telling Andy earlier, since we're talking about medical problems.
Yes.
I had a great week last
week. That's
all
people our age do, by the way.
I had a great
that's
week.
That's all we ever do.
With Gilda in Virginia, we saw that.
How was your blood pressure?
Well, that's anybody's guess.
Yeah.
But my problem, my problem is, despite the fact I had a great time with Gilda again in Virginia, and she was in a terrific production of a show called The Secret Garden, my allergies, this is a set of record. They were the worst they have ever been.
Really?
And then Thursday, we were along the National Mall for the cherry blossoms that were out in full bloom.
Gorgeous.
They were just beautiful. But at the same time, I was suffering, suffering.
Yeah,
sneezing. My head felt like it was going to explode.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's rough when allergies kick in, and I know we're in allergy season right now.
Definitely.
It's not good.
Yeah. So that's my situation. Then I pulled my back, too, and, I've got this pain going down my leg.
Did you go? I was just in Washington a couple of weeks ago.
Were you?
Doing some interviews. I didn't have time to do anything. I enjoy visiting the historic, places.
Absolutely.
Isn't it something like when you land there in the Washington Monument's the first thing you see?
The Washington Monument. Then if you're sitting on a certain side of the plane and they taxi toward the gates, you can see the Capitol.
Yeah, you see everything. It's
really inspiring.
Yeah.
It is.
Did you do anything like that while you were there?
Well, like I said, we were down at the National Mall for the cherry blossoms, and I got to see the World War II Memorial for the first time.
Oh, very nice.
Hadn't been down to that part of the mall since that had been built, so we're going to go back when the weather's a little warmer. The fountain wasn't quite on yet. There's a fountain there for the memorial, but definitely have to see that again.
Stop in and see the president?
No. Didn't stop in and see the president. We didn't get that close to the White House, really.
Did you stop in and see Elon?
Nope, didn't see Elon. Didn't see Elon.
So you probably didn't get to buy a Tesla.
Didn't buy it, no. Didn't
off the
do
White
that.
House lawn didn't. And nothing like that. That's when the song was a song right there. Number one song on this day in 1975.
Your lady mama lies.
The great Patti LaBelle. You know, this was not the original version of this song.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did it before this one?
It was a group called 11th Hour.
How long before the big hit here from Patti LaBelle?
1 year prior.
Just a year?
Yeah, just 1 year prior. You want to hear the original?
Yeah. Do you have it queued up on the turntable there?
Sounds like you're playing a 45, a 33, and a third.
Yeah. It's too bad they didn't use microphones at the. All right, that's enough of that. I don't know why. I just wanted to hear a song that was.
Of when a song was a song.
Top of the charts back in 1975.
Hi, everybody.
Well, I hope that whoever
are you wearing a Nehru shirt.
No,
you look like you're wearing a Nehru shirt.
No, I'm not.
What's
it's a long sleeve T-shirt.
What's up with that, Mahatma Gandhi? What are you wearing in there,
Andy? Is this a Nehru shirt?
It is. No.
Come on now. See, yes.
No,
I'm not wearing a Nehru.
You are wearing a Nehru shirt.
I am not.
Shwani trying to bring back some of his old wardrobe.
If I was going to do that, I would have brought in the polyester shirt with the leisure suit.
Well, you wear that all the time. That's nothing new, but I've never seen you.
It doesn't fit anymore.
Never seen you in a Nehru jacket before.
Not wearing a Nehru jacket.
You're looking very groovy.
All I need is some beads and a necklace and everything else.
Yeah. Medallion.
Yes.
You need some medallions. And I don't mean
do you still have. You still have all those chains that you wore in that picture you showed me once?
I might have one or two of the chains from back in the day.
When you were out all night and then closed down faces at 5 in the morning?
I think I still might have my saber tooth medallion.
Oh, nice.
That was a classic. But I never had a Nehru jacket.
I never had one either, and I'm not wearing one now.
Certainly not at your age. Can you still get a Nehru jacket?
You probably can.
If I went on the, if I
went online and bought one,
I'm curious. I wonder if they make them in husky big boy sizes now.
Well, you know, Andy, I think if Dean is in the market, for a Nehru jacket, that would be a very nice gift for someone who will be celebrating a birthday very soon.
We baked you a birthday cake. If you get it to me, and you moan and groan and woe, don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
A little early birthday greeting for you, Uncle Dean.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Tomorrow
and many more.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we have planned a special dinner.
We'll cook you dinner, be the talk of the town, also the county.
Somebody had some time to look up Three Stooges.
That's a tradition for your birthday here.
Apparently the play and the monument wasn't the only thing we did last weekend in Washington. This just in, you can still get a Nehru jacket.
There's your birthday present.
From Walmart.
Andy, Jess, we can all
from
pitch
Walmart,
in.
Huh?
I've been to Walmart many times. I've never seen anyone walking around in a Nehru jacket.
What size are they? We should all get matching Nehru jackets now.
XS. What's XS?
Extra small.
XS to XXL. Triple XL.
Wow.
Designer formal party wear. Wait a minute. I lost the description here. Designer formal party wear. Stylish Indian wedding vest coat. But it's basically a Nehru jacket.
Well, now we should get matching jackets.
$49.
And then wear them at tree time.
Yeah, $49. That's not too bad.
No.
How much did you pay for yours?
I don't have one. You are relentless, I tell you.
I hope not more than $49.
No, it wasn't that.
Here's a fancy one you can get for $55.99.
What's fancy about it?
It's got a men's brocade waistcoat, bungalow gala.
Oh, those are fancy.
Band gala festive jacquard Nehru jacket.
For you.
These are all very stylish.
That's for you. That one's for you.
I don't think these are exactly made for the big and tall man. I don't think I fit into that.
What's your size? Extra husky?
The husky
size.
Big boy. Whatever the section was where my mom would take me every fall for back to school. Well, we have to go to the big...
We have to go to the husky.
We have to go
aisle.
To the husky aisle.
Your tough skin jeans.
Remember the big and tall men's shops?
Sure. Of course.
They still around?
Of course.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think? There's not fat people around anymore?
No, I didn't. I hadn't seen it. There used to be retail brick-and-mortar stores called Big and Tall Men's Shops.
See, that now you're, you know, because of the pandemic, so many things closed down. I got to think a Big and Tall Men's store survived the pandemic.
We'd think it would. So what color are you going to buy? Is the Nehru jacket for you?
Now, yours seems to be kind of gray and white. Yours is gray with sort of a white collar. So do I get the same one so we look like twinsies?
We all have to be matching.
That'd be nice.
With twinsies, or do I get something completely different?
Andy, what's your opinion?
I think if I wore one of those, I'd be sneezing.
Well, given what's happening with me and allergies, I don't want one then.
Yeah,
I do like
I've been sneezing enough.
I love two things. These things really, like, tuck it all in. You know what I mean?
What?
You know, you put one of these Nehru jackets on, it tucks the whole thing in. It's like wearing a girdle. It's like having a girdle on. And the other thing is, I could order one right now from Walmart.
Do it.
Like of all
I dare you.
Of all the places they have a Nehru jacket, Walmart.
I'll be doing some shopping in a few days. I'll stop into a Walmart and see if they have them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've already
If they
got
have
one.
The big and tall extra husky or whatever you're
just,
wearing.
Just Andy and I need to get one because you've already got one.
I don't have one.
Do you have a dashiki also?
No. I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what a dashiki is?
What is it?
It's traditionally an African garment worn by men. It's a shirt that you put on, but it's very...
Oh, yes. I've seen those. No, I don't
flowing.
Have one.
It's very
flowing. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I don't have one of those, no.
Looks very comfortable. I've never had one, but...
I have one of those Hawaiian print shirts.
Yeah,
but,
you know. Okay, well, if we can get dashikis and or Nehru jackets, we'll be sporting them at this year's...
Tree time.
I bet not a lot of people come into Lake Barrington wearing a Nehru.
Not in November.
Excuse me, can you tell me where your spruce trees are? Why, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I can. Anyway...
I don't know how you got off on this.
Wearing a Nehru jacket.
I am not wearing... It's a long-sleeve T-shirt. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Andy?
You're correct.
See, I have a witness now.
You can say whatever you want.
It's a Nehru T-shirt.
I can't see from this angle. Does he have his I voted sticker on it?
No.
That's not his members only jacket.
That's his members only jacket. Anyway,
what's on the show today?
You know who's on the show in a few minutes? Dr. Kevin Most.
Excellent.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Dr. Kevin Most joining us for a rare appearance.
Maybe we can talk about allergies and symptoms and what to do about them.
I think today we should only, because, you know, I'm getting over a cold. Andy, do you have anything?
Yeah, just because this weather is going back and forth and back and forth. My allergies have been off the charts.
Oh, your allergies are...
See? Yeah. See?
Yeah. Off the charts.
All right. Well,
we'll talk about that.
Dr. Kevin Most will only talk about things that we care about today. Things that are affecting us and also our far-flung forecast in a minute. It is time for America's favorite, the far-flung forecast. Andy did a terrific job with the far-flung
forecast. That's what I understand.
Thank you.
Some would say maybe the best job ever.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
Lots of compliments about Andy's FFF, if you will.
It was flung, but it wasn't very far, but it was flung.
Oh, you did a fantastic job. But this week, once again, we handed back to the master to take it over. And this week... Why exactly he's... Hey, who am I to question what somebody's wearing?
Is that Ravi Shankar?
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's not. I was going to play some Ravi Shankar.
Or the instrumental section of the Beatles song, Within You, Without You.
I was going to
play... On Sgt. Pepper.
I was going to play that, but I decided to go with this because it sounds so different.
Okay. Well, at any rate.
Now with your far-flung forecast.
Thank you very
much. Maharishi Maheshwani.
Thank you very much. And good morning, everyone. Good to be back here. And get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices.
And snakes.
We're not going far, very far away at all here. We're staying in the land of Lincoln today, going to Cedarville, Illinois.
Cedarville,
which is about 35 miles northwest of Rockford. The town has a population of 741. Hmm. That's up from 719.
Yes, it is.
It's a nice town, and it has nice houses. And it also is the birthplace of one Jane Addams, who was certainly a very much a social leader and established the Hull House, what was called the Settlement House, a hundred and some years ago.
But there. It's right on the UIC campus.
Yeah, on the UIC campus there. And her efforts, along with those of others, she was also involved in the women's suffrage movement. Yeah. But her efforts in social work earned her the Nobel Peace Prize in 1931. She was the first American woman to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize just a few years before she died. She died in May of 1935. I thought it would be nice to mention Jane Addams and Cedarville as we wrap up March, this being Women's History Month.
Oh, very nice.
So Cedarville, Illinois, pretty much the same weather there, though they're looking at the colder temperatures as this cold air moves in today. Cloudy now in 46 in Cedarville.
And in just a moment, the one and only Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us for the Week in Health coming up next. Life is back with you. 9:38. Whoa. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, time for the Week in Health. Whoa. Whoa. Always a treat when we get a visit from Dr. Kevin Most to talk with us. Welcome back, my friend.
Dean, how are you guys all doing?
Oh, don't ask that question. We're all we're all a sick mess this week. I'm coming off of a bad cold and laryngitis. Schwani and Andy are suffering with allergies this week. We are we're a petri dish of diseases up here this week. How are you?
Well, you know, Dean, it's interesting that you bring up allergies, and you know, Schwani and Dave are Andy, you said, I guess, right?
Yeah.
You know, we should know by now that this is when allergies hit, right? And especially if they're allergic to trees and tree pollen, this is the tree pollen season. And I guess something we need to keep hitting, maybe like in December, is, hey, you guys, we're coming into allergy season, even though there's snow on the ground, and it's a good idea to start your antihistamines 2 to 3 weeks, even a month, before you start to have symptoms.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yes. It's something that, gosh, I wish we really hit that a little bit harder, just because we really want to do is it helps manage the symptoms. Zyrtec, the antihistamine, Zyrtec, Allegra, Claritin, what they're doing is they're trying to take care of the symptoms that you have. Well, if you can block the release of histamine before you're even exposed to an allergen, you won't get those symptoms. Mm. So this is one case where this medicine not only is great for treating allergies, but it's also great for preventing the symptoms of allergies.
That's exactly what I want to do. Thank you so much,
Did
Doctor.
Did you guys know that you should start
this
weeks ago?
We just learned something here.
I've never heard that either. That's incredibly, yeah, incredibly helpful information. I don't know why Schwani is stripped down and is wearing one of those gowns.
Right now, Schwani, it goes the other way.
Yeah. Get a second one and put it on from the back, will you? The Nehru jacket's one thing. What we're looking at now is a whole other thing. I don't understand.
I should have stayed in Washington. I just
So they can manage their symptoms with this, but with me, I just got to wait it out, right? With the with the laryngitis, with the cold. I was tested for COVID. I was tested for everything. I'm fine with that. I just had a bad cold and laryngitis this week, and I have to wait it out. That's all there is to it. I've been doing a lot of fluids, you know, trying to rest my voice when I'm not on the radio for 4 straight hours. That's really all you can do for this, right?
Yeah, you know, if you got tested for flu and COVID, those are the two illnesses this time of the year that we can potentially treat you with. And like you said, probably the biggest thing you do is rest your voice. So assuredly, you have some time that you have to talk, but the rest of the time you should just be lozenges, fluids, and not talking, because, you know, laryngitis is an inflammation of the vocal cords, the larynx, you know, where we speak from. So you think, oh, my arm hurts. Well, you're not going to go lift weights to make your arm better.
Right.
Same with this. Resting your voice is the biggest thing you can do right now.
Right, right. And I know a lot of people are going through, especially the allergies, right now. That's all I'm hearing about from people who are coughing and sneezing their heads off. You know, one person sneezes in the office and, you know, you think that there's a COVID epidemic going on, but it's right now it's mostly just allergies. So get your antihistamines and listen to Dr. Kevin. Can we talk about this measles outbreak? Because it is a little bit out of control in the country, and how it's being managed is distressing right now of, you know, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. We're hearing so many different messages. What are you hearing about the outbreak, first of all, and where we are with this? It's not slowing down, right?
No, not at all. And your comments are spot on. You know, this is the largest outbreak we've had in over 20 years. So for some officials to say, oh, we have measles outbreaks all the time. Well, we don't have them at this size. You know, so we have over 500 cases in 19 states, Texas being obviously the biggest one, where we have this large group of Mennonites who have unvaccinated children. And everybody has to realize measles is it's either number one or number two as far as the most infectious diseases as far as contagiousness. If you're in a room with somebody with measles and you're unvaccinated, there's a great chance you're going to get it. Not 6 feet, not 20 feet, in the room with them. So we have to understand that it's highly contagious. That being said, though, the vaccine works great when you get it. So the vast majority, 97% of those of these 500 individuals who have it, were unvaccinated for measles, mumps, and rubella.
So part of the controversy right now are some of the alternative treatments that have been suggested by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's in charge of Health and Human Services right now, and he is saying in an interview that vitamin A can dramatically reduce deaths from the disease. How does Dr. Most feel about that?
Okay, so I think there's two things that we really need to understand here. One is vitamin A in an individual who has measles now. If they have measles and there's a potential that they are low in vitamin A, then getting two doses of vitamin A will be good for maintaining, minimizing your eye damage and blindness. And it's not going to do as much as far as saving deaths. That number doesn't change, but at least the eye blindness and the eye complications will. The problem is that people hear Mr. Kennedy say this, and now they're giving kids who are unvaccinated high doses of vitamin A to prevent this. And what's happening is we're seeing now kids coming into emergencies and liver failure because of vitamin A toxicity. So people have to understand vitamin A should be only given to people who actively have measles and under the discretion of a physician who says, from a dietary point of view, I take two doses of vitamin A and that's it. You're not taking it all the time. You're taking your doses and that's the preventative part. This is not like a daily vitamin you're going to continue to take.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing now with the liver failure cases showing up in emergency rooms with little kids, which can be devastating.
It's also been suggested that by RFK Jr., giving steroids and cod liver oil to measles patients are getting very good results.
Well, you know, steroids are very good medications for some things. Inflammation, right? They're the strongest anti-inflammatory we know. Better than, you know, Motrin is called a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. So it takes down inflammation, but it's not a steroid. So steroids are really good to take down inflammation. The bad thing about steroids is it also decreases your immune response somewhat. So you have people who potentially are going to end up with encephalitis, you know, conjunctivitis, pneumonia. Those are the individuals that if the steroids are going to be used, again, it should be under just very strict limitations from your pediatrician as far as what's appropriate and what's appropriate doses. Cod liver oil, why is he saying it? It's high in vitamin A. So now you have somebody that says, wait, I'm going to go to the health store and get vitamin A. And he also told me to take cod liver oil. So now I'm essentially doubling up on my doses of vitamin A, which again is leading to these problems.
All right, let me take a break. We'll come back with more with Dr. Kevin Most. If you have a question or comment, 312-981-7200. 950. The one and only Dr. Kevin Most with us this morning. What a treat, talking health. Following up on the measles talk, a call from 630, ask Dr. Most, is it normal for a 15 and 18-year-old to get lumps on the back of their neck and back of their head with pain following a measles shot? They have never been vaccinated before.
So they had never been vaccinated, got vaccinated, and now have lumps. So what happens when we get any vaccine, it turns on our immune system. And our immune system actually is, part of it is the lymph nodes. If you ever had big swollen lymph nodes in your neck, people call them swollen glands in their neck, it's because of the body's reaction. So it's not uncommon for kids, even young adults, to get a response like that where they get something called lymphadenopathy. Those should go down. Why are they uncomfortable? Why are they tender? It's like if you tried to put 10 pounds of potatoes into a 5-pound bag, as it stretches, you're going to get some discomfort, just like you do when you get strep throat or any other infection. So good that you got vaccinated, even at the age of 15. You have to remember that these vaccines are usually done the first dose between 12 and 15 months and the second dose between 4 years and 6 years old. But if you noticed, oh, my gosh, I wasn't vaccinated, getting them now is appropriate, and you may get a little bit of a fever, and you may get some swollen lymph nodes from that, but those will go down.
Here is Kathy. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, doctor. Thank you so much for being there. My question for you is, I had some weird symptoms about a week ago, and it started first when I woke up with a very swollen right knee, and it took a couple of days for it to go down. I hadn't bumped myself, hurt myself in any way, but then a couple of days later, my left knee had the same symptoms. The same pattern happened a couple of days later, and then I noticed that one of my ankles had the same thing, and then 36 hours later, one of my wrists had the same thing. And then a couple of days later, my other ankle had the same symptoms. And it's been going on like that for about a week. I haven't had any fever. Other than that, I've had some numbness and tingling in those areas. And I've also started to notice that my fingers are a little swollen and also numb. Do you have any idea what that could be?
So, Kathy, when you have something called like arthritis, right? The word arthritis just means inflammation of a joint. So there are very many causes for arthritis, everything from rheumatoid arthritis to psoriatic arthritis, but it's an inflammation of the joint. You can have arthritis from going and running, and your joint gets swollen, and you essentially have arthritis. So when you talk about this, where it is moving, I certainly would get into your doctor, have him do some blood tests, make sure it's not rheumatoid arthritis, make sure he looks for a couple, he'll do some blood tests, the fed rate, to see why your inflammatory process is turned on. And then the other thing I would do is take simple anti-inflammatories, Advil, Motrin, not Tylenol. Tylenol is a pain medicine. The other medications to see if that brings down the inflammation. But it's worth getting into your doctor right now because there are so many other options for treating arthritis besides medications that can impact your stomach and impact your health a little bit. But it certainly sounds like you have some form of arthritis. It's just a matter of now of narrowing it down to which one it is.
And spreading.
It's not what I would say, something called, you hear about osteoarthritis. Osteoarthritis is when the cushions between your joints is gone because you've aged. That's not going to go away. Where the other, like rheumatoid arthritis, you can get flare-ups. Psoriatic arthritis, you can get flare-ups where they'll go from different joints. That's probably more along the lines of what you have. And I certainly would at least get in to see the doctor.
Yeah,
sorry,
in different parts of the body like that. I mean, like sort of spreading around different parts of her body.
Yes. Some of those arthritis, you have to remember, what it is essentially the body's immune system is now turned on itself. In other words, it says, I see something foreign, and therefore I'm going to cause this swelling and discomfort. So sometimes what we're doing now is using medications that turn that portion of it off. And I don't want to say you're going to get a cure, but you're going to get really close to a cure with some of these medications. So the symptoms won't come back, and you'll be much more comfortable.
Kathy,
now, when you say the body sees something or feels that there's something foreign in it, does that mean antibiotics might be called for as well?
No, antibiotics are good for bacteria, only for infections. What this is the body unfortunately says, wait a second, I look in my knee, and now all of a sudden my immune system is turned on when it doesn't need to be turned on. There's nothing foreign there. There's nothing unusual there. It's just the immune system is firing for no reason. So what we need to do is turn that firing system off because it doesn't need to be on. So it's looking at it, seeing something that it doesn't like, when in fact it's normal. It's kind of like if you think about someone who gets a kidney donor, they give them anti-rejection drugs. Why? Because the body's going to see that kidney and say, well, it's a kidney, but it's not my kidney, and therefore I'm going to try to get rid of it. Same thing with some of these arthritises, where it turns on this immune system where it says, hey, I don't like what's going on in this joint, and then it calms down and goes away. But it's nothing that antibiotics aren't going to do anything. Some anti-inflammatories will, but certainly get into your doctor, have them do some of the blood tests, and you're going to get a much more definitive answer and a much better treatment process for what you have going on.
Yeah, good luck to you, Kathy, on that. That sounds very painful. Almost all the calls on our text line, Kev, are about measles. And almost all the questions are who should get a measles vaccine right now. Is that the best course of action given this outbreak?
Yeah, Dean, it's actually, I was kind of surprised that we almost didn't lead with that. So it's very interesting, depending on the age of your listeners right now. If you were born before 1957, chances are that you have natural immunity. You were covered. You were exposed to measles. You got measles. You may not remember it. Your parents may not have written it down, but it looks like most likely you had it. If you were born between 1963 and 1968, the vaccine at that time was not ideal. So a lot of people are saying, you know what, that vaccine at that time, so if you're between the ages of, 57 and 62, you may, and you're going to be around little kids, it may be a good idea. But for the most part, you don't need another, especially if you have documented case that you have it or that you got the two shots of the virus. That being said, with this going on right now, doctors are saying, hey, you know what, college students, might not be a bad idea to get another one. Healthcare workers, for all of us that work in hospitals, we get tested. So they do a blood test for us to make sure that we have immunity. And if we don't, then we need to get it. And then anybody who's traveling internationally, because you have to remember that our vaccine policies here are totally different than the world, and especially with the outbreak we have right now. So if you're going to be around someone who's immunocompromised, if you're a college student, it would not be bad to get another one. There's no harm in getting another measles shot, but you got to remember that if you're surrounded by people who have been vaccinated, the chance of this spreading dramatically is not bad.
Dr. Kevin Most, always a pleasure. We really appreciate when you can join us. It's wonderful to hear your voice, my friend. You take care.
Take care, Dean. Rest that voice.
So, Shawnee, are you up to date on the Elite Eight?
Oh, I think it's fine.
Oh, I'm just waiting for that.
You're not following? You're not following?
I am. None of the schools that I want to see have been in the tournament here this year. But I've been, you know, I follow I enjoy it, the March Madness stuff.
I have to say that I'm totally confused by it all.
Really?
You're confused?
Well, by, you know, the seeds and who...
Okay.
Progresses and all that, but I have enjoyed watching a couple games this week.
Yeah, there have been some pretty good games. Yeah. You know, last night was there was a couple of good games, although I guess Duke pulled away to win that one pretty handily. But Florida and Texas Tech was a good one. Florida came back to win that game last night. So you know, if you pick the brackets this year and you went with a lot of upsets, you're not doing real well.
Yeah, I saw something about that the other day, that there are a lot of people disappointed that there weren't any upsets or Cinderella stories.
Here. Andy gave us a really good guide on, like, you know, what we need to know at the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I don't sound like a big dummy when people are talking about it.
Yeah.
So what do I need to know right now? I know by the end of today,
we'll have the final four.
We'll have the final four.
Yeah. And just, you know, if you want to talk like you know what you're talking about with gambling, just say,
yeah,
that's
all. Yeah, that's all I want.
Just say, oh, man, this final four is so chalk.
So chalk.
Like chalk is like the it's like a layup. It's easy. It's the one seeds, the two seeds are all advancing. So it's very, very chalky at this particular point.
Well, this is why I got laughed out of the room the other day when I said it was Nito.
Yeah, Nito and Chalk are a little different. Oh, they reside in different neighborhoods.
All right. Yeah. And decades.
Yeah, that's true, too. So, yeah, you can get away with saying that because Duke and Florida are both there in the Final Four. They're both number one seeds. Also today, it's a number one seed taking out a number two seed. That's Auburn and Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And it's the same situation in the other one today with Houston and Tennessee. Houston's the one seed, and Tennessee is the two. So there's a possibility that all of the number one seeds will be in the Final Four.
That's chalk.
Big time chalk. Very chalky.
I learned two things this morning. Take allergy medicine 2 months before it hits.
That's right.
And now a new term to express what... Right. Something is supposed to be about.
It's chalk.
It's chalk.
It's chalk.
Yeah.
All right.
So, so it's there should be a couple pretty good games today. I mean, the Big Ten has one team left, and they're playing today. That's Michigan State against Auburn, which is the number one overall seed in the tournament. So they are the top dog, period. And Houston and Tennessee, two teams that score a lot of points, will be playing in the early game today.
Hmm. Shwani, that's chalk.
I think it is.
Big time chalk.
It's chalk.
You know what else is chalk? On a rainy day, just taking a big old nap.
Ooh.
That is chalk
Big time.
That is chalk.
Is that on the agenda today?
That's chalkalicious.
At the Hard Rock Cafe.
Time 13.
Come to the Hard Rock Cafe.
It was the end of an era in downtown Chicago last night. The Hard Rock Cafe shut their doors for the final time. Can you believe it? I'm going to say by your enthusiasm, yes.
No, it just comes as a surprise. I didn't...
Did you know they've been open for 39 years?
Yeah. You know who I saw at the Hard Rock Cafe many years ago?
Eating or performing?
They were coming out of, after having lunch, a very special guest for the city of Chicago.
Huh.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
Get out of here.
Oh, I'm not kidding.
Really?
He was here. This would have been, 1991 or 92. It was, you know, just after the fall of communism and the fall of the Iron Curtain in
Mr.
Eastern
Gorbachev,
Europe.
Gorbachev, take down
this
wall.
And the wall was in the process of coming down, actually. But he was here. Hmm. Visiting the U.S. and came to Chicago, spent the day here in Chicago, and was over at the Hard Rock Cafe for a little while.
Got a burger.
And I saw him. He was shorter than I thought he was. Yeah. You know, he walked out with his delegation, and but, you know, there was no mistaking that that's who he was. But I didn't know that they were closing.
I remember when he was here, and he commented, "Who's the guy in the Nehru jacket?"
Does he hunt moose and squirrel?
Do you know who worked at the Hard Rock Cafe when it first opened in 39 years ago? Actor Steve Carell.
Hmm. Oh, did he?
He was. He was doing stand-up at Second City. And he's told me many times, like, one of his first jobs here in Chicago was a waiter at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Wow.
So, they shut their doors for the final time. It's tough to be a business in downtown Chicago right now. I mean, they haven't commented really on why they're closing, just that they are. But, you know, with this crazy teen takeover, that you've been reporting.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for businesses to stay open when crazy stuff like that's going on.
That sure was a fun area, though, when Hard Rock was there, the Rock and Roll McDonald's. Yep. That was a great area.
Yeah, there was a center of nightlife there.
Yeah.
And the Hard Rock Cafe was great because of all of the... Remember what a big deal it was?
Yes.
Of all the rock and roll memorabilia, you go and grab a burger or something.
A guitar from Eric Clapton or something like that in there.
All this wonderful, iconic memorabilia is just hanging all over the place. So, and the iconic, their sign outside of the restaurant, the guitar, the famous guitar, is at Ohio Street or Ontario. I can never remember which street it's on.
I think it's Ontario.
As you're driving down the street, you see this giant sign. But, you know, sort of without fanfare, people stopped in yesterday for a final goodbye. According to reports, you know, some people just, you know, happened to go there because they were in town, they were tourists, and wanted to go to the Hard Rock Cafe and learn that it would be the final day. Kind of a bittersweet and sad day.
You know, another popular place in that same area was Ed DeBevick's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ed DeBevick's reopened, you know.
Yes.
They're on, what is it? Is it
Orleans?
What's the street that goes east when you get off the expressway? That's Ohio,
That's right? Ohio, yeah.
Well, I think it's Ohio. I'm pretty sure it's Ohio and... I'm not going to remember.
LaSalle in Ohio,
Rush? No, it's further east. If we were still at the old dump in Tribune Tower, it would be steps away.
They didn't move into the old Phil Stefani's, did they?
Not this Phil Stefani's.
Okay.
But what was that greasy spoon that used to be right there? That, you know, you'd always go in there just to get a sandwich or a burger or something like that that was right around the corner. I know that you know which restaurant I'm talking about. I can't think of the name of it. But I think that was... They redid that whole block. But that's where Ed DeBevick's is right now. But the original Ed DeBevick's, you're right, was right in that intersection where Hard Rock, Carson's Ribs.
Carson's Ribs, of course.
Used to be right there. You know, the whole deal. That was the center of nightlife. And, you know, one more business closes its doors. A lot of people feel like they don't want to come downtown. You know, they don't feel... And, you know, these teen takeover stories. You know, we had, like, the first nice day of the year. And, of course, that happens.
And it happened just a couple blocks from our present location right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's not far from where we are. But, of course businesses are going to close. Businesses can't stay open if customers are afraid to come downtown. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
I also know that some friends of mine that are in the restaurant business said that while they were able to make it through COVID, things are not what they used to be. Things have not returned. And one of the reasons why is that they've lost a great deal of business from office trade for lunches, business lunches, where they did very well. You know, an office would order a bunch of pizzas and a bunch of salads or sandwiches. And that's not happening now because not everybody, you know, came back to work like they once were. You know, they do the hybrid working from home several days. Yeah.
Although sending out for a bunch of pizzas would be a fantastic idea right now.
Ooh, that'd be nice. I'm ready. Yep.
How good would that be? Some nice thin crust.
Tavern style. I like tavern style
pizza. Too. I was someplace the other day and they cut the pizza in slices. You know, like New York style slices.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it back. This garbage away from me and cut it properly.
actually sent it back.
Well,
when they did that,
I asked them, "Would you mind cutting it in smaller pieces?" It's hard to me. It's hard to eat a slice. You got to fold it. You have to know how to do origami to eat a piece.
Otherwise, the grease runs up your arm.
Yeah. Just give me. I just wanted a little tavern style piece of pizza. That's so hard.
Nope.
This is Chicago. We are Chicago. So anyway, sorry to hear about. I was trying to think of like other places that have closed that we really miss. All right, we've talked about some of them. Is Carson's Ribs still open anywhere?
Somewhere, yeah, and that's a good question.
I used to love their ribs.
Oh, yes, they were great. You know what else was good? Well, anything was good there, but I once got a really thick, wonderfully cooked pork chop there.
Oh, their pork chops were amazing.
Yeah.
And I hate to bring in something healthy, but they used to have something called a garbage salad.
That would be great. Everything under the sun in the salad, and
everything
it was giant.
Under the sun.
A big entree salad.
Everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was delicious. It probably wasn't that healthy because I'm sure, you know, it had everything and it had this wonderful creamy
garlic or creamy ranch cheese. Dressing.
Oh, that dressing was good.
A blue cheese dressing.
I'm sure any value that you had health-wise from eating a salad was gone. In that, number one, it was gigantic. Number two, it had this unbelievably delicious dressing, which I'm sure was not so healthy, but... Anyway, even though, you know, it's like when Macy's changed their name and, you know, things like that. And you go, oh, I'm so sad that such and such is gone. When was the last time you were there? Decades ago.
Yeah.
Well, of course they're closing. No, you're not going there. But I'm sad that Hard Rock Cafe is not going to be there anymore. When was I there last? Couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. Actually, the first Hard Rock I was in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the 80s.
Really?
And that was right before they opened up here. But one of the ones in L.A. there, I don't know, Hollywood, Sunset Boulevard or Sunset area there. We were there with friends many years ago now, many moons ago.
Yes, yes. Somebody remembering... Houston's restaurant.
I remember the name.
Steakhouse, yeah.
Oh, I remember. I used to go there all the time.
There was one where we would stay with the Cubs in Arizona. There was one right around the corner, so a bunch of us would go there after
fantastic.
Games.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Load up on some red meat.
Good stuff.
We'll cook you dinner, be the talk of the town, also the county.
I used to go. I would go in with my cardiologist.
Bring your own defibrillator.
Just in case. Tons of people remembering Carson's Ribs, though. Here's one that says that Carson's is in Deerfield.
Oh, yeah, by Waukegan.
Yeah, Waukegan Road, yeah. Deerfield. Here's one saying that there's one in the former North Pier building. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
That steps away from us here at
the North Pier Terminal?
Yeah.
You know what I miss in there was the old Carolina Crab House.
Oh, that was a good place.
Wasn't that good for seafood?
That was a good place.
That's been gone for many years now, but I sure enjoyed that in there.
Yeah, that was a tough spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
That North Pier building, they had an upscale grocery store. Whose name is escaping me right now, but it was
Fox and O'Bell or
Fox
something
O'Bell.
Like that.
Yeah. Fox and
you know
O'Bell.
What else was in there was the Baja Beach Club.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yep. Shawnee knows his night spots.
What about Dick's Last Resort?
Dick's Last Resort. Yes.
Or yep. Lowry's Prime Rib.
Yeah. Somebody texted that in.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart every time I drive past there.
Yep.
Because that was
at Lowry's.
Yeah. A fantastic place for Prime Rib. But again, it's like, you know, one of these places, oh, I'm so sad Lowry's is closed. When was the last time you were there?
50 years ago.
My eighth grade graduation.
You know, it's funny. Melina and I actually went there the week it was closing. And the only reservation we could get was at like 4:30 or 5.
Yeah.
So we're eating,
at Lowry's?
Yeah, we're eating dinner with, let's say that we were just some of the younger people in there at that point.
I'll bet by decades. Yeah. Was it good, though?
Look it was really good.
Look at the nice young couple.
It was really good.
Not nice. Let me see. Yeah, here's somebody that says, Carson's is still in Deerfield. Love their ribs and pork chops, and now I want the salad. Oh, that salad was...
Where did they say they're in? In Deerfield?
Deerfield. Waukegan
and Lake Cook in that area.
Yeah. Yep. I wonder if it's still great.
I would think it would be.
Well, sometimes your memories are better than
reality. Yes, that's reality, true.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go do the show there. Here's one more place.
Put it on the list.
One more place I want to do the show, where we'll never do the show.
There was a German restaurant at North and Clybourne called the Golden Ox that's been gone for years now. Oh, was it good.
On Clybourne?
North and Clybourne. Now, where you have the big shopping center and the AMC theater there.
New area. Yeah, new city up there.
Yeah. That was a marvelous old-school German restaurant with beautiful fixtures inside, woodwork, and the food was fantastic. The Golden Ox.
847 area code says, I miss all the German restaurants on Lincoln Avenue.
Yeah, the Brauhaus.
There used to be some fantastic.
I missed the Brauhaus.
Zum Deutschen Eck,
yes.
On Southport.
Yep.
It's a great one. 309 area code. Hey, 309, that's Peoria, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hello, Peoria. Hello. if given your choice, would you do the architectural boat tour or bus? I didn't know. I guess there's an architectural bus tour, I suppose.
Depending on the weather.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
It's going to be raining hard today, and if it's cold and windy, you may be better off on the bus. But on a nice summer day,
yeah, it says that they're going to do it in May.
Oh, well, then you should be all right. Yeah. I would recommend the boat tour.
Nice day, I would do the boat tour. Because I think you would miss a lot. Well, those double-decker buses, but you don't want to be in a double-decker bus when it's pouring, raining.
Well, you can sit on the lower level.
Then you can't see anything.
Yeah, you can.
All right.
But if it's a nice day and they'll be here in May, definitely the boat ride.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's 847 saying they miss the Como Inn.
Como Inn.
Do you remember the Como Inn?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, Dean, you and I and some friends had dinner there many, many years ago.
Was that for the big WFYR reunion?
Might have been, yeah.
Well, let me tell you the rest of that story. We go to the Como Inn.
I think I know what you're going to talk about.
All of us from the old WFYR, we had a big reunion, and it was really fun. We had a great time. We're all leaving, waiting for our cars from the valet, and I'm waiting forever. It's taking forever to get my car. And everyone's joking, hey, your car must have got stolen. Turns out, my car did get stolen.
Oh, my goodness.
From the valet.
I remember you talking about this, yes.
That's how I remember the Como Inn, so.
Not a good memory for what should have been a fun evening.
I say I'm glad they're gone. It's 10:37, time for the Weekend Theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? This week, a hilarious spoofing of the movie Titanic. And hilarious spoofing, really, of Celine Dion and the song, which will forever be linked to the movie. I believe the song won an Academy Award from the movie. But it is the song that you instantly think Titanic when you hear. This new production is called Titanic. And joining us to talk about it is the actress, singer in the show, who plays Celine Dion, Claire Kennedy McLaughlin, who was nice enough to join us on our WGN-TV Midday News the other day. Claire, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dean. How are you?
Doing very well. Nice to talk to you again. Did you have a lovely experience, I hope, with us on WGN-TV the other day?
Oh, yes. Of course, absolutely. And I had many family members that loved to see it.
Yeah, because Claire is originally from Lake Barrington. Lake Barrington or Barrington? I think we have a bad phone connection here. Can you hear us, Claire?
Yep.
So, Barrington or Lake Barrington?
Just Barrington.
Just plain old Barrington.
Plain old Barrington, yep.
Just good old plain old Barrington. Now taking on this role as Celine Dion. How daunting is this? To be taking on the role of one of the most famous singers in the entire world.
It's certainly is daunting. I think when I thought about it in that lens, that she is one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, that is certainly, that can be scary. But what I found exciting about it is embodying her as not really just as a performer, but her as a personality and a unique individual. That's what's been really exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got some wiggle room here because it's not like you're coming on and doing a Celine Dion tribute show. In a way, it's a tribute, but I mean, this is a funny and irreverent show. Can you kind of walk us through that which is Titanic?
Sure, yeah. Titanic is, it basically retells the story of the film Titanic through the lens of Celine Dion, who claims that she was at the actual events of the Titanic. So it is her retelling through her catalog of music as she remembers it over 100 years ago. And it goes through a rather, in her opinion, truthful retelling of the movie Titanic, though there are some definite discrepancies in the film itself and the retelling that makes it hilarious and super fun to watch.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the show yet because the opening hasn't taken place yet. But everybody that I know who has seen it here or elsewhere is just raving about this show like crazy, of how funny it is and how well performed it is. So congratulations on that. But I mean, this show has already played in other major cities, including New York, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's actually run off Broadway for about, I believe, 2.5 years, and it's still going. And then it's running in Australia. It's on the West End. It was just nominated for a couple of Olivier Awards. And then it had a several months long run up in Canada as well.
Yeah, that's some pretty good track record there. Tell me a little about your cast and, you know, what people will see when they come to the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower now through July 13th. The show already now has been extended through July the 13th. What will people see up on stage and who?
Yeah, sure, sure. The lovely Adam Fain plays Jack Dawson, our Leonardo DiCaprio role. And Maya Rowe plays our Kate Winslet, our Rose. They're phenomenal. Their chemistry is great, especially because they are such great friends in real life. Chicago theater fans will also recognize Adrian Aguilar as Cal, Rose's fiance. The incomparable Rob Lindley as Rose's mother, Ruth. Jackson Evans is a Chicago favorite as Victor Garber, who plays the ship captain, as well as Abby C. Smith of Broadway's SpongeBob the Musical, the original Broadway cast, as Kathy Bates, the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a star-studded cast. Chicago theater locals, it's like a feast for the eyes. It feels kind of like the Chicago Avengers, a little bit, of theater, to have all of these different people coming together on one stage. And additionally, those who have seen Titanic know there is a particular design that has followed it at all of its different international productions. However, the Chicago one is a completely new design for costumes, for sets. So if you have seen and loved Titanic, there is more to see and love here, but it's going to be, we call it 2.0, Titanic 2.0, because it's a completely new design. And the costumes, in my opinion, are especially fantastic. And those are done by Joss M. Banks. He's done some really beautiful work.
That would be something you would know about. I mean, being a native of the area, as you say, you grew up in Barrington. Tell us a little about your history. I mean, you probably played the Chicago theater circuit, right? I don't mean the Chicago theater. Maybe you have, but I mean the theaters around the Chicago area, like all young actors who are first starting, play all the theaters in the Chicago metropolitan area.
Yeah, so I started at Porchlight, which this production is also with Porchlight, so that's super special to me. But I've also, yeah, like you said, kind of been bebopping around at Paramount, Marriott, Chicago Shakespeare, that kind of thing, but never at the Broadway Playhouse. Broadway in Chicago does such a great job working with national tours to come through the city at their different theaters, you know, the Nederlander Cadillac Palace, et cetera. And growing up, my parents would take us to whatever kid-appropriate national tour was in town, and that was like a big special day of the year. We'd get all dressed up, we'd get dinner at the Italian Village, and then we'd go see, you know, Hairspray or Beauty and the Beast or whatever was touring through Broadway in Chicago. So it's kind of surreal to be doing a Broadway in Chicago show as a performer now.
Yeah, that's so funny that you mentioned the Italian Village, because so many of us did that exact same thing.
Yep.
You come downtown, you get there early to have a little dinner. And where do you go? Italian Village, smack dab in the middle of the theater district downtown, and then go to see whatever show was just a block or two away. Do you remember any? Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the shows that you saw as a kid that really sparked your interest in being a performer or in live theater or in music? Was there one show that really, you know, was the match that lit the flame?
Absolutely. Yeah. When I was a kid, we saw a bunch of shows, but I was too little to the point where sometimes I would fall asleep. Just couldn't stay up late enough, I guess. But the first show that I was like, eyes wide open, the entire thing, was Wicked, actually. It was the, I believe, 2005 Chicago production of Wicked. That one, I had read the Wizard of Oz books, like that. My dad and I read those as our, like, bedtime stories all the time. So I was a huge Wizard of Oz fan. And then when I saw this musical, it just, like, completely blew my mind. I remember taking my $10 bill of accumulated allowance and going to the mall and buying the Wicked CD, and then forcing my mom to sit on the steps while I did puppet shows to the Wicked CD on my CD player, which she then limited to only one song at a time. She wouldn't sit for the whole 3 hours of the score, unfortunately for me, but it was definitely Wicked. So this past year has been so, so cool and exciting to see it come to so brilliantly to film. But and I still love Wicked. That magic has never lost me.
Yeah. How has your family been reacting? They must be thrilled that you're now, you know, not just a cast member or an ensemble member, not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, you are the lead in a big musical in downtown Chicago. Your family that watched you grow up with all of this has to be beside themselves.
Yeah, they absolutely are. This past year, I've had a lot of really great understudy experiences where I've gotten to go on several times, and that's been exciting. But, you know, it's hard to coordinate, especially when some of my siblings live out of the state. When they're in town, for them to be able to see it or only be able to see me in, you know, smaller ensemble roles, which they're still, of course, proud of me for. But to get to do this role full time, not as the understudy for this production, has been really exciting, and it just feels kind of totally new to me to be able to invite people and not have to send out, you know, emergency last minute, oh my gosh, I'm going on, make it to the theater if you can, text messages, and get to have my family actually get to come in and see it even maybe more than once. Is incredible. And also it's Celine Dion. Like it truly does feel like I'm playing the queen of the world in many ways. We used to listen to Celine Dion all the time growing up on a radio, or kitchen radio. So, it's just a lot of things falling into place, which often, can be pretty rare in theater. So it's super sweet and it feels surreal every day.
I think it's a great story. You know, local girl makes good. Your family must be through the roof with pride at how well you're doing. Claire Kennedy McLaughlin will take a break and come back and talk more about Titanic, that is at the Broadway Playhouse Theater at Watertower Place through July 13th. Back with more in a minute. Well, the opening for Titanic. Official press opening is coming up this week. The show's already been extended through July 13th at the Broadway Playhouse Theater at Watertower Place, 175 East Chestnut Street. A lot of people on our text line, Claire, asking, is this a family show? Can I bring my kids to see Titanic?
The official Broadway in Chicago age recommendation is 12 plus. However, it is my personal opinion that you will have a very mature 12-year-old if you choose to bring them. I would definitely say if you want to bring your high schoolers and older, then absolutely. We've had some 12-year-old kids with their parents come and love the show, and some that maybe weren't quite ready or didn't know what to expect when they came. So I would say it's definitely up to the parents' discretion, but I would say high school and up to go for it.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see this in high school, but my parents are pretty cool about that kind of stuff, I'd say.
Yeah.
So,
you know. People ask all the time, can I bring my kids to come and see a show? I said, and I always respond, it depends on the kids. It depends on the parents. I mean, you know, some parents are a lot more open than others. Some are, you know, much more traditional, and, you know, kids are a little more, you know, sensitive, I guess you might say. So, you know, I think your advice is a good one. Mature kids and teenagers probably okay to see Titanic, the spoofing of the movie Titanic. You know, when this is a million years ago, when the movie Titanic came out, Spike Odell, who was a famous radio personality here on WGN back in the day, and I put together a Titanic night where we recreated the actual meal that was served on the last night of the Titanic. I dressed up as the captain. People came, you know, our listeners came dressed up in period costumes. And we had the best time. There was a book out of what they served on the Titanic for its final voyage. And we recreated the menu. We had the best time. There is so much interest still after all these years in the Titanic. You must be finding that out as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's what makes it, you know, ripe for the rewrite, is that everybody seems to have their own personal story of where they were when they first watched the movie and how much it meant to them. I know our Molly Brown, Abby C. Smith, in her bio, she even says she went and saw Titanic in theaters four times in 1998.
Yeah.
And it's just never left the cultural psyche in a way. I mean, you know, so much iconography and the relationship of Jack and Rose, but also because the Titanic was a real story. It happened off, you know, the American coast, and it's a legitimate tragedy. And then that compounded, of course, with the iconic My Heart Will Go On. It's something that lives in people's minds for a very, very long time.
Yeah, it sure does. Still has legs, as they say. I want to play the performance that Claire did on our midday news on Friday, so you get a little sense of her version of the song, My Heart, the Heart Still Goes On. The show is Titanic. It's at the Broadway Playhouse Theater at Watertower Place through July the 13th. And this is Claire Kennedy McLaughlin on our weekly theater segment, sponsored by Lyric Opera's Wondrous Sound. Take a look. And Claire, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Dean. Thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you again.
Thank you to all of the listeners telling me that I should be resting my voice.
Yes, you should.
Well, I feel fine.
Totally, completely rest your voice.
Why don't you rest your voice for the next 40 years? People telling me, and I know my voice sounds terrible, but it's like the end of laryngitis. If you would have heard me during the week, you couldn't even understand what I was saying.
There's still some remnant of it. I can hear it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But thank you for all of the well wishes. I feel fine. I'm not sick in any way. I'm just trying to get my voice back. And thank you for all the birthday notes, by the way. A lot of people tomorrow's my birthday and people are wishing me happy birthday. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we did that a couple hours ago, but you didn't acknowledge it.
What do you mean I didn't acknowledge it? I said thank you. What do you want me to do?
Okay. I guess I missed
that
part.
What do you
want
to play pin the tail on the donkey? Want me to go through a spanking machine? What? Did you guys used to do that?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Spanking machine.
Yep. Yeah, we had that, and the pin the tail on the donkey. Yeah. And,
you know, that would be fun at tree time next year if we had a spanking machine.
I thought you were going to say pin the tail on the donkey.
We could do that, too. Neither one would make one you're bit always, of sense on the radio.
No,
you're always trying to come up with ways to injure me in some way when we go there.
That would be so fun to have a Dave Schwann spanking machine.
Pin the ornament on the tree.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like that. when I've got every light turned on in the studio trying to, because I'm very seasonal affected disorder person. When it's icky outside like it is right now, I need every light on to keep me engaged.
I was that way the middle of last month when it was just, you know, we had just highs for days on end in the teens, and it was cloudy and dreary and cold.
Depressed.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You need one of those big lights. Yeah. Have you tried those? They say they work.
I have not. If anyone's tried it, I'd love to hear about it. Because I am very definitely affected by that.
Yeah, a lot of people are. They may not even know it, but it's very common.
We have, you know, like dimmers here in the studio, and usually people keep them low, you know, they're like subdued lighting. I've got everything turned up high. Really, I should put on some SPF right now. That's how high I've got the lighting going on. And one of the most beautiful songs that's ever been recorded. Wow. Walk my way. The great Johnny Mathis.
And a thousand violins.
And his version of Misty was announced this week that Johnny Mathis is going to be retiring from touring. He's 89 years old. God bless him. He still sounds great. He was here in the Chicago area not long ago, a few months, maybe 6 months ago, something like that, and performed and sounded great. And now he says he's going to hang it up. So good for him. You like that song?
Sure. Oh, yeah. That goes back to like 1958 or something like that.
This particular version of
the original
Misty.
Yeah.
That's how long he's been touring and recording.
Yeah.
Since 1958. So how many years is that? So like 60,
some 65, 67. He was on with Dave Plyer a number of times. Dave had him on and talking about his early years and who he was exposed to and, you know, all the touring. And this was several years ago when he was talking, but he still very much enjoyed doing the shows. Absolutely. The Christmas show, you know. Yeah.
You kidding me? Light FM wouldn't even have Christmas songs if it wasn't for Johnny Mathis. Like half the songs they play are Johnny Mathis Christmas songs. I mean, he had this, Misty, Chances Are.
Chances Are.
Right?
Yeah. Because I wear a silly grin.
Oh, brother.
The moment you come into view.
Looking for my gong.
Looking for my earplugs.
Gone.
Let's see.
You mentioned the name of the song. I just had to chime in.
Wonderful, Wonderful.
It was
one of his songs. Too Much, Too Little, Too Late.
Who did he do that with?
Denise
that was
Williams.
A duet. Yeah.
Singer Denise Williams. The theme song from the TV show.
Family Ties?
Was it Family Ties or Growing Pains?
I think it was
I think you're right. I think it was Family Ties.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 20. Step up to the microphone. There we go. I'm not even going to try. It's all yours.
Chances are the
because I wear. I'm not even going to try to emulate Johnny Mathis.
You'll hurt yourself. We'll have to take you to the Northwestern emergency room.
It's up the street.
What's wrong with him? He was trying to sing like Johnny Mathis.
He pulled something.
Forget it. We're not going to take care of him here.
God bless him. 89 years old. And
that's quite a career, especially for a singer.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I always enjoyed his songs. Am I correct? You tell me, keeper of musical knowledge, that the original Misty was done by a pianist named Errol Garner?
He wrote it.
Oh,
he wrote it. And I'm sure he played it. But Errol Garner wrote the instrumental. I don't know who put the words to it, but the melody and everything else was written by Errol Garner, who played many, many times here at the London House in Chicago.
Sure. Oh, wow.
I mean, it was one after another. Errol Garner, Oscar Peterson, George Shearing.
Yeah.
Wow.
All those cool cats.
Mm-hmm.
This is Errol Garner, the original.
Oh, you came up with that quickly.
I'm a professional.
You've got all those fancy turntables in the studio there.
Remember back in the day, we would actually play record versions, vinyl records. How cool is this? This is so cool. Little jazz trio. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Oh, baby, listen to this.
Put you right back into Mr. Kelly's.
Oh. That's awesome. Oh my gosh, that's so great.
Oh. Oh, you made my morning there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And the other thing Play Misty is famous for, the Clint Eastwood movie.
Play Misty for me.
Where the
wow.
Where the crazy listener. Not that we would have any of those. But the obsessed listener who was calling the request line.
I'm trying to come up with the name of the actress that played that.
Clint Eastwood was a DJ on a music station. I can't think of her name either.
Jessica Walter.
Jessica Walter.
Yeah.
Play Misty.
She'd call him at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Play Misty for me.
He was a nighttime DJ.
Yeah.
And he broke the cardinal rule of connecting with somebody on the request line.
Yes.
Something that you never, ever, ever...
Big mistake. Never, you know what song was also in that movie? The first time ever I saw your face, Roberta Flack.
Really?
Yes.
In that movie?
In that movie.
Wow. Pretty cool. All pretty cool. Anyway, congratulations, I think, to Johnny Mathis.
Did you ever get to talk with him?
Johnny Mathis, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure did. All right. So now, since we had that, what did I do with... wait a second. I had another... Oh, here we go. Wait. I had another thing I wanted to play for you and see if you can identify the opening of this television show.
Doctor, quick! He's
terribly sick. What happened?
Dr. Kildare?
I don't know.
Wow, you remember that?
Please help him.
Well, we'll help him, but we have to know what happened. Try to calm yourself down. Did he fall? Was he in an accident?
No, I left the house for a few minutes, and when I came back, he was rolling on the floor screaming. And now you're not screaming anymore.
That's me taking you to Northwestern. After you strain yourself trying to sing like Johnny Mathis.
Try to call Dr. Most.
Trying to call Dr. Kildare. Now, this is really back in the day, 1961 to 1966. The great Richard Chamberlain played Dr. Kildare on television. This guy was so handsome. I mean, he, you know, just became
a real heartthrob.
Oh, my gosh.
All the women that watched the show, sure.
Richard Chamberlain passed away yesterday. Is that right?
Yes. Yesterday, he was 90, I think.
At 90 years old.
At 90.
But you know what? His birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, wow. He was going to turn 91.
He and I share a birthday. I've always, you know, when people said, you know, about your birthday, I've always shared with Orion Samuelson.
Oh, is Orion's birthday tomorrow?
Orion's birthday is tomorrow. Okay.
Happy birthday, Orion.
Richard Chamberlain, Herb Alpert.
Wow.
And Uncle Dean.
Nice.
Yeah. But Richard Chamberlain, if you don't remember Dr. Kildare, and you know, probably most of you won't, producer Jack's eyes have rolled back into his head.
He is now asleep.
Once again, we're talking about something he has no idea what we're talking about. But Richard Chamberlain, also famous for the miniseries Shogun. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
And I'm the sick one. What are you talking about? Shogun and Thornbirds, among many others.
A miniseries, Thornbirds?
But those those were like famous. Those were among the very first miniseries also. But he was in so many, you know, TV shows, movies.
You know what other movie he was in that was popular in the mid-70s? The Towering Inferno.
Was he in that?
I think he was. He was one of the... I think he was married to the woman whose father was one of the big investors in the building where they were dedicating the building. Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, an Irwin Allen disaster movie.
Irwin Allen. I used to love those disaster movies. What were the other ones? The
Poseidon Adventure with Gene Hackman.
Poseidon Adventure, Airport.
Was he under, was he? I mean, it might have been him, yeah.
I don't know if he was in that or not, but that was a disaster movie also, where the, you know, the plane was going to crash, and then they spoofed it with one of the greatest movies of all time,
Airplane. Airplane, yes.
I could watch that movie every day for the rest of my life.
A movie? What is it?
Surely you know that.
Surely you can't be serious.
Yeah. Richard Chamberlain, he's a really great actor. Great actor, but boy, what a national heartthrob he became with Dr. Kildare. You know, people would tune in just to watch him. I honestly have no. I don't really have a recollection of that show. I know it was on.
I remember it in reruns.
I was more a Ben Casey man.
Ben Casey, yeah. Yeah.
That was another medical show, Andy.
Okay.
Jack knows that one.
Like Marcus Welby? Yeah.
Yes, like Marcus Welby.
Yeah. Jack hasn't paid any attention to anything on this show since 9/15. He's out of here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, I'm sorry to hear that.
Jack Hammer, producer Jack Hammer.
Jack Hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough decision.
You take, oh, look, he woke up from his nap.
Yeah. You we're still on?
Wise guy. Thinks he can be a wise guy now because he's leaving. Weisenheimer.
Weisenheimer. Bunch of Weisenheimers.
You Weisenheimer. Producer Jack Heinrich moving to the John Landecker show. When does this take place? April something?
Yeah. I think I got like two more.
Two more with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Savor them. You're not going to get quality program like this out of Landecker.
I know. I'm cherishing
it. And you'll
it.
Be working with a man whose legal name is Records.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Records truly is my middle name.
So you'll have to brush up on all of that.
Right.
I'll bring in some to show you what they look like.
Perfect.
He's going from us talking about Andy Griffith.
Three Stooges,
Batman.
Nehru jackets.
To Boogie Check.
Ooh,
Yeah, so there you go. Time marches on, and the new producer of the show, Frank, I forget his last name now.
Ruggieri.
Frank Ruggieri.
Oh, Frank's coming in? Good. Mm-hmm.
Do you know Frank?
I've met him a couple times here, yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yep.
He was here last week. And I think we may have scared him off. He's not here this
week. Yeah.
He's reconsidering his options.
And I wasn't even here for that.
He's gone in to ask for what he's... He went in and said, I'm going to need... I sat through the show. I'm going to need way more money to do that show.
I think you had a producer at one time that was here for like 3 weeks.
I did
and
not.
And just left.
Did not have that.
Of course, I get blamed for this.
Oh, wait a minute. I know you.
Yes. I get blamed for this, Jack.
You know what? 3 weeks was too long for that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a good couple.
That was, yeah, that's right. But
you know, sometimes you don't have chemistry with the person.
There was no chemistry.
There was an explosion of chemistry with that person. It was not a good match. I do remember that person.
Yeah, yeah. But I was blamed one time, Jack, when a great young guy was with us a few years ago, and then Dean said, this is his last show. He's had it with you.
Yeah. Who is that?
Joey Gelman.
Oh, Joey.
Oh, yeah, Joey.
We should have a producer's reunion.
Oh, the stories we could tell.
We should have a producer's reunion except for that one guy I hated. The one guy, the 3 week guy, let's call him from now on.
The 3 week guy.
Well, usually you do chase the producers away.
Jack, that's not the reason you're leaving us.
Yeah, no.
I didn't think so.
Start talking about Andy Griffith's show with these, you know, 20-year-olds.
I did warn Frank.
Maybe that's where he is now. He's boning up on
studying
old episodes.
Marathon.
Yeah,
yep.
Boning up on the Darlins right now as we speak.
He's learning the words to keep your money in your shoe and it won't get wet.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Come on, Paul. You know that one makes
that
me
one
cry.
Makes me cry.
It is 11:36. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. For our A-list interviews with the stars, sponsored by the Lyric Opera of Chicago. You know, actually, this cold that I'm over the cold. Officially, according to my doctor, cold and laryngitis, and I feel perfectly fine. My voice is the result of lingering laryngitis. The laryngitis is getting better all of the time. But I think where I caught all of this, when I was on a plane going to Dallas, Texas, to interview the cast and creators of this very, very popular series, The Chosen. Many of you know about The Chosen. It's been on various platforms over the past 4 seasons. And now, this past Friday, they began season 5. But season 5 of The Chosen is not on any television platforms. It has been released into theaters only. And for the next few weeks, between now and Easter Sunday, they're going to release several new episodes per week in theaters. So, you know, to be able to see this on big screen, I think it's going to be pretty amazing. After Easter Sunday, they are going to be releasing it on Amazon Prime Video. So you will be able to see it on a streaming platform, but that's going to be later on. For now, The Chosen Season 5 is the first, I think, two or three episodes now, I can't remember. In theaters now, and next Sunday a few more, and then the following Sunday a few more, leading up to not only Easter Sunday, but also Passover, which is also on April 20th, and the Eastern Orthodox Easter is April 20th. Everything is on the same date this year. That very rarely happens. But anyway, I had a wonderful day of interviews with the entire cast of The Chosen. In a minute, you'll hear from the star of the series, actor Jonathan Romey, who plays Jesus Christ in the show. Wonderful actor, super nice guy. everybody is super nice involved in this production. And as really, aside from getting a cold from somebody on an airplane, wear your masks, ladies and gentlemen. When you're in the airports and when you're on planes, I stopped wearing my mask like an idiot. And look what happened. I'm going back to putting my masks on when I'm in situations like that for a little protection. But aside from getting a cold, I had the best time talking with the entire cast, Jonathan, who we'll hear from in a minute, but also a special delight talking with the creator of the series. Dallas Jenkins is his name, who, as I found out in these interviews, was born and raised in the Chicago area. So, you know, we've got a little Chicago connection here with Dallas Jenkins, the creator of The Chosen.
Let me just start off with the phenomenal success of The Chosen. Could you have ever imagined when you started this off? I mean, you obviously thought that it would do well or you wouldn't have pursued it. But could you have imagined the heights that this has reached?
No, and I will correct you, actually, because I would say I didn't necessarily know it would do well or think it would do well when you say that's the reason you did it. I genuinely, coming off of a career failure where I didn't know if I would ever make another movie or television show because my movie that I had done had bombed, I really got rid of all my narcissism, all of my desire for what success might look like, and I decided I'm going to focus solely on the work. And I don't think that's necessarily a radical concept. It's just very difficult to practice. So from when I first started with my co-writers on a couch with my laptop writing these scenes to today where I'm still on a couch with my laptop writing these scenes, I really don't think about whether there's one person watching, 100, 1,000, a million. Now it's over 100 million. The work is the same. It's enough pressure just to make a good television show. If I start thinking about or planning for or predicting or hoping for certain level of success or a certain number of viewers, it's going to be crippling. So I really just focus on how do I each day provide 5 loaves and 2 fish, and if God wants to multiply it and feed 5,000 like he did in the Gospels, that's up to him.
So why do you think that this has taken off the way that it has?
I think it's because of the humanity of the portrayals. And that may seem odd. I think anytime you watch a television show or a movie, I don't think you necessarily think to yourself, this feels so human. Of course it feels human. It's supposed to be human. It's real. But when it comes to biblical storytelling, it hasn't always felt human. I always say that we're trying to take Jesus and the apostles down from stained glass windows and remind you that they were real human beings. What's funny is even when you watch a Bible movie or television show, typically, they still feel like stained glass windows. There's a formality to it. In many ways, an emotional distance that comes from a hyper-reverence, that sometimes reverence can be good. But I think in the case of television movies, and if it's too reverent, it feels presented, it feels formal and distant. That's not good. And I think the thing that... the thing that I'm told every time I meet people in public or they thank me for the show, 9 times out of 10, they will use the word human or authentic. And I think that's been the secret sauce. A multi-season show, we have opportunity and time to develop the humanity and the backstories of these people. And I think that that allows it to feel like it actually happened and like it's like a normal television show as opposed to a church presentation.
That's the first thing that struck me when I when I first saw The Chosen is that all these people that I've read about all my life, now seem like they could be somebody that I know.
Yes.
As opposed to stained glass windows is the perfect metaphor for all of that. And, you know, one of my questions was going to be is how do you view this being different than the many presentations of Jesus that we've seen, biblical stories that we've seen? How is The Chosen different from that? Is that the humanity that you brought to this, you think?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're a multi-season show, the first ever about Jesus, I think that is that's a secret sauce that allows us to do things that you can't do in 90 minutes. But also, I find that many Bible projects are trying to take stories from the Bible and make them as big as possible. We're actually trying to make them smaller. And by make them, I don't mean change them into something small. I think we're revealing that they were actually small stories. Now, they have epic meaning, and they have huge impact on the world, of course. But Jesus danced with his friends at weddings. he had friends and followers, and sometimes these moments were very intimate and very human. He wasn't up on with a microphone talking to thousands and floating above them with a halo around his head. He was a guy from Nazareth. Now he, of course, I believe, happened to be the Son of God and changed the world. But I think one of the impactful things about it was the humility of it and the smallness of it. And so we're just revealing that in this show, as opposed to what some people do. Cecil B. DeMille might turn it into this big sword and sandals epic, and I don't think that's actually how this story played out.
What does Jonathan bring to this in particular? Such a different depiction of Jesus.
Yeah, I think Jonathan brings two things that are unique to his portrayal of Jesus. Number one, he's a great actor, so that's not necessarily unique. There's been other great actors who have done this. But I think the most important thing is he truly does surrender and break himself down before he does this. He removes his ego. He removes the distractions and says, okay, I am a human being portraying and revealing the humanity of Jesus, a perfect human, but someone who related with his friends and loved even his enemies. And how can I effectively portray that? And so he's willing to, as opposed to building his ego as the show goes on, he's actually making himself smaller.
Yeah. The fact that this is a series, now season 5, and there will be one more season after?
Two more seasons. So seven seasons total.
Seven total. The fact that you've been able to make this, what, essentially 14-hour movie, right? Basically about this. Is that part of it as well, that you're really able to delve into detail that previous depictions have not been able to do?
Exactly. That's what makes television great. Movies are great too, of course, but television allows you to get to know the people over the course of time, and you can develop character arcs that play out over the course of multiple seasons. And I think that's the secret sauce, and kind of the cheat code for telling this story in such a human way, is that we can take our time. And so a lot of times biblical depictions are miracle to miracle, Bible verse to Bible verse. You don't get a chance to actually know the people, so there's less emotional impact when you get to these big Bible stories. And so that's what a television show can do that a 90-minute story can't.
That is a director and creator of The Chosen, Dallas Jenkins, talking about his phenomenally worldwide popular sensation, The Chosen. In a minute, the man who is chosen to play Jesus Christ, Jonathan Rumi, next. 11:50, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. A couple of notes before our interview with the actor who now plays Jesus on the series The Chosen, Jonathan Rumi. I think I said that Passover begins on April 20th. It actually ends on April 20th. Thank you for the corrections on our text line on that. It begins on the 12th and ends on the 20th, which is Easter Sunday for everybody this year. Jonathan Rumi is a New York actor who has brought such humanity to this role of Jesus Christ in The Chosen. Dallas Jenkins, the creator of the show, I think really put it so well, perfectly, when he said he's taking these figures from the Bible off the stained glass and making them real people. I think that's really kind of the success of this show. And that certainly is the case with the actor who plays Jesus, Jonathan Rumi.
Completely blown away by not just the popularity of this, the phenomenal explosion of popularity of this. Does it exceed your expectations also?
I believe it does. You know, it's something you hope for as an actor, to be on a show that number one, is successful because more people see it, and then you have, maybe I can make a living next year, you know, if it continues. And then to go above and beyond to the point where it's people's lives are being changed, like, literally, spiritually, like on the day to day, that their relationship with God, they have one, or they had one and then they kind of forgot about it, and then now they're curious and they want to know more about, you know, the real Jesus. For many people, that relationship is the most important relationship in their lives, and to have some kind of impact on that relationship, to me, is profound and sacred and extremely humbling. So I try to steward that gift that I've been given in this role to the best of my abilities.
What kinds of stories do you hear from people who tell you that this series or your performance in some way have changed their life?
You know, Dean, it ranges. It can be from anything. Like, I've had people ask me to baptize their babies. I've had people say that they were atheists and grew up hating the church and what the church stood for, and then somebody gave them a copy of a DVD, or they got turned on to the show, and all of a sudden their eyes were opened to things and realities and truths about what it actually meant to follow Jesus that they had never even conceived, because they had no idea. I've been offered marriage proposals, which, you know, I'm still thinking about it. I'm not making a decision right now. I just give you some time.
Proposals to you?
To me, yeah. Oh. I've also been asked to marry couples,
of course,
as well. So, yeah. So it's been all over the map, but it's been a wild experience.
I can only imagine, and I'm not surprised. I think I've seen every biblical movie that there could be, every Jesus movie that there has been, series. This one struck me from the very first episode, the very first season, of how much more relatable somehow this is. And that's was clearly the intent of producers, of you, of the other performers, I would think. Am I right?
Yeah. Dallas Jenkins, as the creator of the show, wanted to see a show, a binge-worthy show, that rivaled anything else he had seen, that was influenced by a number of great shows, including shows like The West Wing and The Wire. All of that, as a you know, a lifelong student of film and a person of faith, influenced his desire and to make a show, to see a show, and then ultimately to get the opportunity to make a show that nobody's made before. And, you know, he surrounded himself with great talent, and our writers, Ryan and Tyler, are, along with Dallas, are phenomenal writers. And then, you know, to get a show like this out into the world and sustain it, as the great story seminar guru Robert McKee would say, there has to be a good story that is well told. And that's what we endeavor to do first and foremost.
You've got a pretty good story here.
Yeah, it's the greatest ever told. And so we have to give the best of ourselves as artists and craftsmen to make a great show.
Well, what's it like for you just in real life? I mean, you're now one of the most recognizable faces on the planet. When you go to the grocery store, are people approaching you and moved by seeing Jesus, choosing a cantaloupe?
Yeah, I don't know how moved they are, but there are certainly those encounters, and I try to just be as graceful as I can about it. I'm not necessarily fond of being discovered in the wild, so to speak. I'm much more prepared. I think it comes down to context and preparedness, and, you know, here I expect to run into everybody and meet everybody, and let's do it. But when I'm home, you know, you kind of want a little break from that. But it's part of the gig. And any discomfort that I have, I just kind of have to offer it up as part of my sacrifice for playing the role and being given this massive gift.
And I love that you're going to do a Kevin James comedy.
Yeah, Solo Mio comes out this fall.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see
Thank
it.
You.
Kevin James comedy from playing Jesus for now 5 seasons in The Chosen. It's actor Jonathan Rumi. Seasons 1 and 2 are in theaters now. Next Friday, April 4th, seasons 3, 4, and 5 will be in theaters. And then on April 11th, seasons 6, 7, and 8 will be in theaters. After that, the series will be streamable on Amazon Prime Video. Not going to complain about our weather even though this is not my favorite.
Hey, you know, it was supposed to, we were supposed to be getting some heavy thunderstorm activity right about now, and it's not happening here downtown, at least.
But we still may get it later.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But even still, I'm not going to complain. I mean, it's overcast. It's not the best of days. I keep thinking about those poor people in Thailand.
Yes.
With the earthquake there. How many? 1,700 now?
Over 1,600. And then this morning in Tonga, another Pacific island there, a lot of earthquake activity in that part of the world right now. A 7.1 magnitude quake.
Awful.
And we still don't know about damage or casualties there or fatalities. The other thing that is hampering things in Myanmar is the country there is... the media is controlled by the government. There's a civil war going on, and so that just really complicates the situation.
They're digging through the rubble, right?
By hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they don't want heavy equipment to come in there and perhaps make things worse.
Of course.
No, so they're going through by hand.
How about that footage, though?
I know, yeah.
Of the high-rise that just disintegrated.
Yeah.
I saw a video this morning. I mean, this was a luxury high-rise. And at the top floor, they had a rooftop swimming pool that people were in. You know, the people were in the swimming pool, and they showed, video people frolicking around in the pool. And then suddenly you see the waves in the pool building and building, going side to side, and the water is
spilling out of the pool.
Is spilling over the edge of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And people got out of there, you know, just in the nick of, out of the swimming pool, just in the nick of time.
Right.
I don't know what happened to them ultimately, but you imagine that being swept out of a swimming pool?
Utterly terrible.
Ugh.
Yeah. So as I say, the death toll is certain to rise there in Thailand and Myanmar, and hopefully we'll get more information as the day goes on about Tonga as well.
Yeah, count your blessings.
But, some very, very violent activity in that part of the world right now, earthquake-wise.
Yep. Well, I have no jokes to end this segment.
No, not this segment. But
I can make fun of you in some way. That's always...
It's an easy transition, yeah.
That's always pretty reliable. Hey, Schwani, what are you wearing, a Nehru shirt there? 12:12. Dean Richards, Sunday Morning, WGN. Want to know why I'm playing the Batman theme?
I was wondering.
It was on this day in 1939, the year Schwani was born, that the first appearance of Batman took place. Batman comic books.
Jumping Jehoshaphats.
Yeah. Pow. this is March 30th. It's kind of a big day in history. Is that Schwani talking in the background?
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm running a newsroom.
Sounds like you're gossiping.
I'm running a newsroom.
Yeah.
What were you? What are you talking about now? Never. My Nehru shirt.
I was just talking about how it was on this day in 1939, the year you were born, that the first appearance of Batman took place.
1939.
Yeah.
I'm not that old.
This is, so it's Batman's birthday today.
Well, happy birthday, Batman.
This is a big day. Turns out March 30th is kind of a big day in history. That's when we interrupted you from whatever. You were gossiping over the fence with Wilson. 1981.
That's good.
But Wilson.
President Reagan was shot March 30th, 1981. Remember that day?
Absolutely. That. And then was it a couple months later that the Pope was shot?
Yes, that's right.
1981, just within about six, eight weeks of each
other. That's right. And wasn't the Secret Service agent who protected President Reagan. What was his name? He was from Tinley Park, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he become the chief of police?
Chief of police out there. He was injured himself in that shooting.
This day in 2003, Meigs Field mysteriously closed.
Oh, that was a big deal.
Remember that morning?
Oh, yes.
With the whatever those machines are called that dug big X's into the runway.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody could land.
One of the TV stations did an interview. They found a person who owned a small private plane that was still there, and he was unable to take off. He was very upset.
Yeah,
they didn't tell anybody.
That was Richie Daly, gangster. Yeah, get out there and dig some X's into the runway there.
into the runway.
That way the planes, they can't close. That's really Moore's dad. That's my original.
Well, it would be into the runway though.
They get into the runways out there. Richie Daly.
I enjoyed covering him. I enjoyed it. I did.
We've had some interesting mayors.
I enjoyed covering him.
Between him and Harold Washington.
I enjoyed covering him, too.
He was interesting. Jane Byrne, never a dull moment.
No. No. She was right not long after I came to Chicago, about a year after. She was mad at all the reporters.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know what it was, Dean? It was in the early days of what is now Taste of Chicago. It was still called Chicago Fest.
Yeah.
And it was over at Navy Pier.
Yeah.
And we were waiting for her to come out to make some talk about something. And they were shouting questions at her. And she was walking by and just waved at all the reporters and said, "Oh, it's a beautiful day here."
Yeah.
"It's just a beautiful day."
Probably smoking a cigarette.
I don't remember that. But she got mad about something and was just mad at all the people that were covering her from City Hall.
First woman mayor, you know, policies aside, everything. That was tough, to be the first woman mayor in Chicago.
And, it was kind of...
This old boys club, thought they could just run rampant over her. In many ways, same way for Harold Washington, being the first black mayor of Chicago. You had to have some extra spinal strength to stand up to everything he had to stand up for.
Yeah. That race, his first term, that was a three-way race. That was Richie Daly's first run at mayor.
Right.
And then Jane Byrne was the incumbent. Yeah, she was the incumbent. She was running for re-election. And then Harold stepped in kind of at the last minute.
Right.
And then it just kind of took off from there.
But then, so Harold wins the Democratic primary.
Right.
And then has to run against this guy, Bernie Epton.
Bernie Epton, yes.
Whose campaign slogan was... Before it's too late or something like that.
That's right.
Vote for me before it's too late.
That's right.
One of the most thinly veiled racist political slogans you could think of back, ever. So, we've had nothing.
That's right. It was. I remember seeing the TV ads saying before it's too late.
We have a very colorful history of mayors here in the great city of Chicago.
And I imagine when you tell people you're from Chicago, they think of gangsters or they talk about politics. I remember my dad and I were on a cruise once in Greece or Turkey, and we told people who we were sitting around with after lunch where we were from, and they knew who Rod Blagojevich was and Rahm Emanuel.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Years ago, I was in Greece, and I said I was from Chicago, and somebody went, Al Capone.
Al Capone,
bang,
sure.
Bang, 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 bang,
yep,
bang.
Yep, yep.
But then it shifted over to Michael Jordan.
Oh, that's good. Or Oprah, sometimes.
And Oprah.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan and Oprah.
Well, that's better.
Yeah, that's better.
than just being, recognized as...
Bang, 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 bang.
So...
Anyway, March 30th.
Wow. Quite a date.
It is.
And then tomorrow's your birthday.
Yeah, tomorrow's my birthday. And I thought you might have some kind of surprise for me today.
Well, Oh, you mean in terms of food?
Well, you know, in a big, some kind of celebration.
I thought it was...
That's okay, though. That's all right. That's all right.
Okay.
I'm not too disappointed.
Yeah, listen to this. Listen to the tone of his voice there. Right. You're supposed to be resting your voice,
I'm a big boy. I'll get over it.
You're supposed to be resting your voice.
Even though last year on the TV morning news, where they really care about me.
Bigger budget.
Bigger budget. they brought in a celebrity to surprise me on my birthday.
Who was it?
It was the man who brought to popularity the dance, the twist. You know what I'm talking about?
Chubby Checker,
yeah.
Listen to this. The surprising me. He walks in off camera.
Chubby Checker? Come on.
Chubby Checker, right here.
Good morning.
Well, how are you doing, guys?
Happy birthday to you.
Chubby Checker singing me happy birthday last year.
Now, Jack, do you know who Chubby Checker is?
Of course he doesn't.
You got all his records, don't you?
What's a record?
I have no idea what's going on.
That's why he's such a good producer of this show.
I just let Dean cook.
You have no idea what's going on. Yeah.
So you don't know the song, The Twist, or the follow-up song to it?
Let's twist again like we did last summer.
I do know that song.
See, yeah.
Limbo Rock.
Limbo Rock.
That was another one. Yeah, but the
point, how nice.
Yeah, but the point is that they cared enough to give me a birthday surprise last year. Whereas,
and what are you implying here?
Crickets this year. Crickets. It's okay. I'm not a child. I don't need a birthday surprise. Would have been nice.
Oh, now you're laying a guilt complex.
No.
Oh, that's all right, Schwanny.
Schwanny is the head of the party planning here.
That's all right.
He's our cruise director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's the Julie.
Exactly.
Julie, what was her name? McCoy.
Julie McCoy, yeah.
Julie McCoy on Love Boat. Yeah, no bugles this year. No. Nothing.
Well, we'll have to make it up then.
No, it's all right. Too late.
I can tell you're hurt.
No, that's all right. I'm fine.
Oh, now he's crying.
Dun, 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 dun. No, I'm kidding. I don't care.
Any big plans for the day tomorrow?
No. I imagine people that care about me will have surprises and dinners and lavish gifts.
Who knows? Tom Hanks could come in.
Tom Hanks could walk in. You know, maybe I should have waited until the end of the show, because now we have 35 minutes left in the show. Yeah, like that. Tom Hanks could walk in sometime in the next 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. He could.
Not going to happen.
I don't think so, but
it ain't going to happen.
Could happen, yeah.
That's all right. I'm kidding. You know, I've been cooking up a storm on TV. I made something so delicious. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Well, Schwanny would have loved it. Let me check the Andy factor on this.
Okay.
Andy is ever-changing.
Yes.
It used to be that Andy would never eat anything.
Correct.
But lately, Andy has been expanding his palate.
Yeah, a little bit.
Shrimp? Do you eat shrimp?
Not a big shrimp fan.
Not a shrimp fan. No. Okay, you're out of this then.
Yeah.
Schwanny, do you know what orzo is?
It's kind of a grain.
It's pasta.
A pasta, yeah.
That looks like rice.
Yeah.
It's pasta that looks like rice.
Right.
So I took the orzo and I made it. You know, it's just, you know, package directions. It's just pasta. You boil it a little bit and strain it. Set it aside. Took some, what else did I get? I had some vegetables. I sautéed some squash. I sautéed some spinach. I sautéed some onion, some garlic. Set it aside. And then shrimp. Sautéed it.
Oh, I love sautéed shrimp.
Garlic. I had the shrimp marinating in garlic for a couple of hours. So this shrimp was garlicky. Is that a word? That sounds naughty.
It is a word, though, garlicky.
Yeah, but
and you were just putting the emphasis on the different syllable.
I said garlicky.
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 Which I kind of like now that I...
That is garlicky.
Now that I've said it,
That's just like it's chalk, right, Andy?
Chalk, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I had this garlic shrimp that was awesome. I sautéed that. Now, all of this is done in one skillet. Here's kind of the magic of this recipe. You're only dirtying one skillet. So I've got the shrimp sautéing, and, you know, shrimp takes 4 minutes to cook. You know, it cooks so quickly. I take the orzo that I already made, put that back in the pan with the garlic shrimp. I take all the vegetables that I sautéed, put that back in the pan, mix it all up, and then I squeezed a couple of lemons into it all and some lemon zest, served it up. Oh, my gosh, it was so delicious.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so delicious.
Wow.
Andy, you would eat that without the shrimp, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but you're not a spinach guy, are you?
Yeah, well, in moderation.
In moderation. Well, in moderation.
Turns out you would have to take most everything out of it for Andy.
All right. Well,
no, you.
That does sound great, though.
Andy
it really
has,
does.
Andy has really advanced his. His.
And we all know who that's because of.
That's because of Mrs. Maser.
Correct.
Molina.
Mm-hmm.
She's opened it up, which, you know, however it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
So that's great. But that's what I made on TV this past Wednesday. If you want to see the dish, you want to see the video. You want to get the recipe, got it all posted up at WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. And in just a minute, we'll be talking with our pal Dirk Fusick from Dirk's Fish on some other seafood recipes for the Lenten season. Maybe there'll be a birthday surprise. Maybe there won't. I don't know. That's okay. I don't need anything. 12:37 now. As we kick off another edition of Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program. Heard every Sunday at this time. Before we get to our special guest for this week, I was given the recipe for my shrimp scampi with orzo. And I left out two major ingredients. The orzo is in the dish. The shrimp, garlic shrimp, is in the dish. I forgot that part of the reason that I made this was because of in spring, asparagus is in season. And asparagus, I take the asparagus, cut it up and saute it, and put that in the dish. And then the biggest ingredient of all, I forgot, crumbled feta cheese. The feta cheese just sets this dish off like crazy. It's so delicious. I only use Dodoni feta cheese. It's so delicious. I never get it where it is crumbled in advance. I always crumble it myself. I never buy any cheese that's pre-crumbled or pre-shredded. It's loaded with chemicals and things to prevent it from caking. So I always do it myself. But I forgot at the end of this dish, there's a really nice sprinkling of feta cheese that goes on top of it as well. So if you want that recipe, we've got it up at WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. All the things that I cook on TV, the videos, the recipes, everything are there. And with us here this morning is our longtime pal Dirk Fusick of Dirk's Fish and Gourmet Shop over on North Clyburn Avenue. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Dean, how's it going today? Good to hear from you. How's things going with you today?
Everything is going great. And do I remember correctly that right around the beginning of April is the anniversary of Dirk's Fish? Is that right?
April 2nd. That's it. Yeah, 22 years this year.
It's fantastic to be able to, maintain all these years because the products that you sell are such top quality. This man knows everything there is to know about seafood, about fish. And I always like to start by asking you, what's in season now? That's what you do when you go to a fishmonger. You find out what's in season now. That's what's best right now. Give us the...
What's good. What's good today, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Give us the word.
Right now, with spring coming and all, we got halibut season just opened up out of Alaska, so that's always a classic fish for all your dishes. Let's see, soft shells will be coming up pretty soon, maybe toward the end of April out of Florida, but we got to wait till May for the main season coming up. And then wild salmon will be trickling in far, a little behind those guys. So those are about the main things coming in. Stone crab's kind of fading out. Nantucket bay scallops are fading out now as we get into warmer weather. So there's always an ever-changing scene in the fish world, that's for sure. And we got Passover coming, so we'll be doing a lot of whitefish, lake trout, walleye, all that kind of stuff for gefilte fish.
Right. And with the Lenten season right now, I would imagine that you're selling more fish than ever right now of people who have gone meatless for Lent.
Yeah, definitely that. And then we've also been trying to do more to-go meals, so that's been a people wanting to get something quick and easy, they can come and grab salmon roulades or papillotes or the sushi we got rolled and things of that sort. So we got a lot of stuff ready to go. So those lunch items for Lent also.
Yeah. So let me ask you, brag on yourself a little bit. What's the difference between the seafood that I would buy at Dirk's Fish and that I might buy at my local supermarket?
Well, first off, there's nothing like buying fish from a fishmonger, right? So, which there aren't very many. It's kind of a dying breed. I mean, we used to have in Chicago, half a dozen, 10 good places to go buy fish. But these days it's kind of diminished into the grocery store variety, like the, Mariano's and Jewel's and things like that. Those fish, they're just, fish comes in, it sits around there for a while, I got to admit. I don't know their sources. That's one of the benefits of getting it from me, because I know my sources. I know where the fish is coming from. We've had the rapport and, experience with a lot of suppliers a long, long time, and they know better than to send me junk. So, and we get fish every day except Sunday. And, we used to buy small quantities as we need it. We also get things that you wouldn't find other places. We had some Baja striped bass this weekend. We had some arapaima, which is pache, which is a big South American fish that they're farm raising in Florida now. What else did we have that was fun? Skate we had. We had some blackfin tuna, which we don't usually get. So there's a lot of variety of that we'll have that you won't find at your regular supermarket. So nothing against salmon, but you get tired of salmon every now and then.
Yeah, well, you want to break it up a little bit. Salmon certainly is delicious, and you can definitely get salmon at Dirk's also. But it seems like that's the main sell at when you're buying at supermarkets. And the seafood is it's fine. But let me tell you what I notice: the freshness when I've gotten products at Dirk's. The freshness is very tangible in the taste. It's like when you go to a meat market. Luckily we still have a few really great meat markets around the Chicago area, and the difference that you can taste is what makes the difference, in my opinion, and the variety. And it doesn't hurt that when the weather is nice, Dirk or his staff are out in front of the store with their grills and smokers. And they're cooking up some food, so you could try it out there.
Yeah, we're big on that's a Saturday demo that we do every Saturday, 12 to 2, and we hand out free samples. And basically, you can come by and get a free lunch, So we got other samples out there. So it's actually better than going to Costco, for samples.
So talk to me.
And also, when when you walk in our store, too, that's one of the things you mentioned about freshness. I get a lot of comments on that, that it doesn't smell like fish.
Exactly.
I mean, you walk in and it smells, you know, like the beach sort of kind of, but you don't get that, you know, kind of sour fish smell that you get places when you get close. So that makes a difference.
Yeah, if you smell, if something smells fishy, you don't want it.
No pun intended.
Yeah, fish should not smell fishy.
Correct.
Otherwise, it's not good. You had talked about how halibut is in season right now, which to me is a fantastic fish. It's so easy to prepare. What do you look for when you're looking through the case? What should you look for in a halibut when you're choosing?
Well, I mean, any fillet should look good. You should walk into a place wherever you may shop, preferably Dirk's, but it should look good to you. You should, you know, it should appeal to you by eye first. As you say, first you walk in and it doesn't smell bad. You look and something goes, man, that tuna just is gleaming, or that halibut has just got that nice, you know, beautiful, pure white look to it that just is appetizing in itself. You know, before you even start, it should look good to start with. That's your base thing. It's like ingredients. You've got to have great ingredients to start to make a great dish.
Now, when I look at a piece of halibut, I'll see a red line through it. I'll see some red marks. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Aren't you supposed to see that?
A lot of fish, like halibut in particular, is, you know, wild caught, so they catch them on bottom hooks and they haul them up on a line, they toss them in the boat and stuff, and obviously fish flap and flop when they are caught, and so you get a little bruising here and there. Much better than it used to be in the old days. We used to get sockeye salmon that was just beat up like crazy because they never really took care of it and fishermen didn't realize how important it is to take care of the fish, you know, gently through its whole lifespan in your hands, as it were, because, you know, in the end, it affects the end result. And so they're much better about that these days, handling fish. And so if you get a little bruise on there, you'll get that occasionally. I mean, you can cook that up. Generally, it turns white. And if it's a bigger bruise, it may be a little discolored, but it's not going to be bad.
But generally speaking, we try
to get rid of all that before you even see it.
Oh, okay, yeah. But I mean, if you see it, though, it doesn't really affect the taste or anything, right?
No. I mean, if it's a little bruise, you know, if you got a big, you know, gouge in it, or a big, you know, looks like a blood clot in it or something like that, then I'd pick a different piece, honestly, you know?
Okay. All right.
If you're not happy with your piece, ask for another one.
Let me take a break, and maybe you've got some recipe suggestions for us. Maybe our listeners have some questions about seafood for Dirk Fusick, Dirk's Fish and Gourmet, 2070 North Clyburn Avenue in Chicago. 1250. One of the reasons that I love having Dirk Fusick on the show to talk seafood, Dirk, it's also because I get to play this song when you're on the show with me.
You don't play that at home regularly?
I don't play it very often. No, not very much. Only when I'm around you. 847 area code. I want to make seafood paella at home. Do you have the ingredients for something like that? Yeah, you probably have it all in your store, and a recipe on your website.
Yeah, there's over 400 recipes on the website. Actually, there's a couple paella recipes on there, so that's a classic easy recipe to do. Paella is just, you know, a rice base with whatever you want to add to it, so it could be anything.
Which would be what? Shrimp.
I like scallops would be a good choice. And, you know, you could do like a seafood risotto if you want to do that. You could just go a straight fish risotto if you'd like to do that. Things like monkfish are great in there. I mean, the halibut we were talking about works great in the risotto. With fish, you want to be a little more gentle with it when you're stirring it, you know, just because you're going to start breaking it up a little bit, which isn't all bad, but you're not going to get the bigger chunks, you know, when you start mixing it into the rice there. But shrimp and scallops are one of my favorites for paella.
Yeah, maybe even mix in the fish. Let the rice cook a little bit. The rice
exactly.
and the veggies and the spices. Bring in the seafood later because that cooks up so fast. Actually, 773 area code, you mentioned monkfish, asking, I've been looking everywhere for monkfish. Do you have it?
It's something that we can get. We don't have there's not room for all the fish in the sea all the time. So, but if somebody's interested in a specific fish, give me a call. I mean, within a day or so, generally, I can come up with whatever you want. I came up with some sturgeon for someone yesterday who was looking, and some John Dory earlier in the week that people were looking for that you won't find most places. So there's a lot of things out there. Just, you know, need to know what you're looking for. But monks are available year-round.
815 area code. I've never had good fish. Since I was younger, the smell of it kept me away, no matter how it was cooked. Well, I mean, if the smell kept you away, that was bad fish. So you don't want that.
Basically.
But what do you suggest to somebody like this? Because, I mean, fish is so delicious. Sometimes it's actually really sweet and delicious and anything but fishy tasting.
100%. I mean, that's basically just buying your fish at the wrong place. I mean, again, it comes back to how it looks and smells when you walk in. And, you know, should it be eye appealing to start with? You shouldn't have to ask what that is or how long you've had it. So it should, again, just jump out at you and say, oh, man, that looks good. I don't know what to choose because there's so many good choices. That's how it should be. So, and I think a lot of people, especially here in the Midwest, because we're kind of meat and potatoes, I think a lot of people have a bad experience with fish. Yeah. And then, you know, they don't eat fish ever again because that's, you know, that one piece of fish was bad. So I think you got to get out and try things and, you know, sometimes get back on that horse and, you know, try it from a different source or a different recipe. And, you know, good fish, like you say, there's nothing beats good fish. I gave up meat probably 6-7 years ago now, and that's all my wife and eat. I eat protein-wise mostly is fish with a little chicken thrown in there. So.
Yeah, it's so easy to cook, too. It's quick and easy to prepare. I would think a halibut might be nice or a swordfish. You know, something that has some structure to it that might be good for a non-fish eater, like a tilapia Vesuvio would be.
Tilapia is good, but, you know, there's so many better, not against tilapia, but it's such a mild, bland fish that there's just so many better choices. You know, striped bass, red snapper, halibut's a classic fish. There's nothing you can't do with halibut, and just being in season right now, it's a good time to take advantage of its extra freshness. So that's something you can do anything with.
That's what I was thinking for this guy that has never had seafood. Something super mild like a tilapia might be a good entry point. But any of these things that Dirk is talking about. This is Nick on the line for Dirk Fusick from Dirk's Fish. Hi, you're on WGN.
Yeah, thank you. I called in sometime back and praised your place. I found it by accident when I was doing a pause, that place that's on Clybourne. And but your place is, that was at the old location, almost next door to where you're at now. You're just, a couple of doors away from that old spot on Clybourne and that little shopping strip, right?
Well, we're actually still in the same shopping center, 2070 there. We just took over the space right next door and doubled the size. Yeah, that was a couple years back.
Yeah. So anybody who remembers the old spot, if they see an address that's a little bit different, it's in the same place, just a tiny bit over to the side. I was going to say, I told the screener that besides praising your place, which is outstanding, I just love it, you know. I don't have that much money. I got bad feet. I'm on Social Security. And your place is not expensive, but for somebody on Social Security, that's a consideration. But if I had just a little more, I'd be there more often, even with my bad feet. But the bus, I want to say, if somebody takes public transportation, the bus on the Armitage bus stops there at Racine, which is almost around the corner from Paws, if they know, most people know where that's at on Clybourne. You're on the other side of the street, only a block up. And the Brown Line is over at Sheffield. Somebody loves architecture. Some of these old buildings there have the year in the 1880s, 1890s written on top, and they can make a combined trip looking at the architecture of the buildings.
Yeah.
And it's they can walk down.
There's plenty. I want to get a couple of seafood questions in. Not that I don't appreciate your tourism, but you're 100% correct about all that. 847 area code Dirk says, what's your favorite way to cook halibut?
Halibut? Oh, man. Probably a quick saute, like a piccata is a good way to go. Get a skinned piece of halibut and just pan saute and a little bit of olive oil. Can add some lemon zest to it, splash of lemon juice, easy on the lemon juice. So, and then throw some capers in there, a little garlic. And we serve that over rice generally is what we do with that one. And it's I always say fish is original fast food. I mean, you eat it raw, obviously, as for sushi, but only takes about 10 minutes to cook most dishes with fish.
Yeah, as Dirk said, he's got hundreds of recipes on his website, dirksfish.com. Stop into the store. It's an amazing place. Dirk's Fish and Gourmet Shop, 2070 North Clybourne Avenue. Have a great day. All the best to you, and give your wife my best as well, please.
I will. I appreciate it too, Dean, and see you soon at the shop. Get some of that good halibut.
All right, buddy. Thank you.